Freedom is amazing. Scary, powerful, terrifying, and a wonderful thing, isn't it? Once discovered, there are visions of opportunity and potential that are limited only by our own imagination. But there are also fears of the potential impact of our choices when we're free to make them. Why are we afraid to apply our freedoms? In most cases, it's because we have been conditioned throughout our lives to look at the world in one particular way. Think about it. For a moment, reflect on what foods you like to eat, what music you like to listen to, what activities you enjoy doing. Each one of those is shaped by our experiences. What our families ate for dinner. What music our parents listened to. What hobbies were developed as a child. And those things that were different from them, we shied away from. Here in this example, Jesus has his first public showing of his ministry. And he's starting a journey where there are many tangible examples of miracles yet to come. But the why is just as important as the what. And the author of Mark does a great job of helping us get to the why. You see, there are many points that we can draw from today's scripture, but I'd like us to focus on three in particular. The importance of urgency, the importance of authority, and the importance of outcomes. Let's start with the importance of urgency. When the Sabbath arrived, Jesus lost no time in getting to the meeting place. Why did Jesus lose no time? Because Jesus knew the value of time. That slow and steady may win the race, but none of us, not even Christ, have unlimited days to accomplish the purpose for which we were created. Jesus had a finite time between Christmas and the Ascension to deliver on an infinite impact. For those of us on earth to understand how God calls us to live and serve in preparing for our own ultimate readiness to enter the kingdom of God. But then there's that fear of freedom that I started with. Why was Jesus unafraid to enter the synagogue in Capernaum? Why didn't he wait and plan and prepare for what to say and how to go about the ministry that he was created to deliver? Why didn't he form committees with the disciples to start figuring it all out? Because when he started, he was already prepared. He didn't let the clutter of all the potential, what if this doesn't work, overtake the power of the knowledge of what God's mission was and what he was empowered to do. We do this all too often, don't we? We're given an opportunity to do what God calls us to do, and yet we still don't do it because we're afraid of making the wrong choice. We fear of risking everything for what God wants, resulting in losing what we think we want. Jesus' example is clear. We cannot let our own human fear hold us back from doing what God is calling us to do faithfully in the name of the Creator. We are called by God to take our gifts, our talents, those that God has blessed us with, and to use them up to their entire extent now, today, for God's purpose. Not ours, God's. Next comes the importance of authority. Why was this so important? Because we know ourselves. We will listen to only those people that we place a value of authority with, won't we? Likewise, We won't listen to anything from anybody that we don't give authority to, right? There's a great example I like to lean on from Dr. Robert Cialdini, Regents Professor Emeritus of Psychology and Marketing at Arizona State University, and a visiting professor of marketing, business, and psychology at Stanford University. Cialdini is also an acclaimed author of books about influence, including favorites of mine, Instant Influence and The Small Big, Small Changes That Spark Big Influence. In speaking about the influence of authority, Cialdini gives a very powerful example. Dr. Cialdini talks about a training crew in a flight simulator. The airline then instructs the captain of the crew to do something that, if not changed, will guarantee to crash the aircraft in about 60 seconds. In a startlingly high percentage of results, the flight crashed. Why? Because the crew in the simulator gave more credibility to the pilot's authority than the actual situation they found themselves in. They were surprised at his teaching. So forthright, so confident, not quibbling and quoting like the religion scholars. But anyone could have adopted this style, couldn't they? So why should Jesus be given any more authority than any human teacher who had the same approach? The answer is given in verse 27. What's going on here? A new teaching that does what it says? He shuts up defiling demonic spirits and sends them packing. This was a piece of the why behind Jesus casting out the demon. The result enabled others to see a clear example of Jesus' authority and just how different Christ was. It gave a newfound credibility of what Jesus was about to do. So, to my knowledge, none of us are the Savior, right? I hope. Just checking. We're not equipped to cast out demons and drive them out of people. And we allow our fear and mistrust of others to prevent us from listening to sound advice and guidance. But here's the thing. We are equipped. We're equipped to do things based on the authority that God has granted us. Each one of us. Some are given talents in teaching. And we're called to authoritatively educate others to change future outcomes. Others are given talents simply maintaining what God has given us to be good and loyal stewards. Still others have been blessed with the talent of healing and are called to focus on how to identify illness in others, whether physical or mental, and to guide the person toward healing from those illnesses. And for the rest of us, we're called upon to listen to that authority when it is faithful to God's will and to learn and apply the lessons that we are taught. If what we are taught is connected to God's purpose and is expressed that way, we cannot allow our human fears to hold back following that teaching. So what about the importance of outcomes? Why was driving out the demon so important to this example of ministry? To that end, the outcome was designed to help others understand the authority that God had granted Jesus. The crowds knew that there was something different about this new teacher, and that he was worth listening to. But what they didn't know is why they should give him any more importance than the other teachers until there was an example to hold on to. They needed that example to set aside their fear of believing in a false prophet and to trust that God was providing a path toward reconciliation and salvation. And while this was just the start of Jesus' ministry and wasn't an immediate cause for people to fully believe and devote themselves fully to Christ's teaching, it was enough for them to grant some leeway and allow the ministry to unfold within themselves. Again, we cannot allow our human fears to hold back godly outcomes. We need to allow ourselves the freedom to take risks that are rooted in God's word so that the outcomes can demonstrate the ministries we need to let unfold. Whether it's which conversations that we enable and not shut down, which building changes we make, renovations and repairs we support, or how we create new resources that open the door to new ministries not yet present. Maybe it's Christian education, maybe it's missions. But we must set aside our fear of failure and place our trust in God's power to overcome all obstacles in the pursuit of God's mission. A good friend of mine, a Weight Watchers leader from North Carolina, gave a terrific way to summarize the importance of allowing urgency, authority, and outcomes to happen over our own fears just the other day. Steve Phillips is a veteran of the United States Army and a retired police officer, including serving with the New York Police Department. He's seen his share of challenge and stress, and no doubt many, including myself, see him as a courageous and bold individual. But Steve is also human, just like us. This week he shared this reflection after a specific day that was really tough on him. Truth is, I'm human. I have days that I want to do nothing but sit in bed or on the sofa and veg out. On those days, it takes all I've got to get dressed for runs. But once I'm dressed and the headphones go on, I'm in my element, my groove. I look forward to that time, me, my music, and the trails or the street, where I feel so free. Remember, I'm human after all is said and done. That being said, I almost went silent yesterday and gave up on who I am to me. The real you needs to be freed sometimes from the dungeon of your own mind. Thank goodness I came to my senses. Hebrews 13:6. God is there, ready to help. I'm fearless no matter what. Who or what can get to me? Mark 4:40. Jesus reprimanded the disciples. Why are you such cowards? Don't you have any faith at all? And Psalm 27:1. With God on my side, I am fearless. Afraid of no one and nothing. So what time are you looking forward to? A time of peace? A time of joy? A time of life and love in God's church? What fear within you is keeping you trapped in the dungeon of your own mind? It's time to open up in prayerful conversation with God, asking Christ to intercede for you and to lift that fear. It's time to commit to the urgency that those changes need to start here and now and in this moment. It's time to committing to listening to the authorities God has placed among us with talents and gifts to share, which are clearly connected to God's purpose for us. And it's time to keep our gaze squarely focused on the outcomes that are a part of the time we look forward to. It's time to release the freedom of the power to do. Amen.